And I had some quiet time. And actually, when I got up, the Spirit just uttered some scripture to me that means so much. I guess I was probably thinking a little about choice. And at that time, the thought came to me, my heart is indicting a good matter. And did you know that your heart is always, always indicting a good matter? However, it needs a little attention. And anyway, Psalms 45 says that. My heart is indicting a good matter, and I speak of the things that I have made as touching the King. You know, King Jesus. Now, that's my King. And that causes my tongue to be the pen of a ready writer. We each have the ability to inscribe upon others' hearts scripture. Oh, it's already written there. Or we can bring their attention to it. That's what God does with us as we come under an understanding and an anointing. We can give it away. The word, let's see, make sure I got that right. My heart. That word heart there is speaks of the very core of every man. The sad thing about that is, seems we encounter so many, they don't know they have a core, that they just need the veil pulled back, all that stuff pushed away. The core of me, Johnny brought it out beautifully. That thing that brings a harmony and soothes out of chaos. It cooperates, that cooperative part with me. You can set your intent to cooperate. I set my intent to cooperate with what I know to be spirit, not resist or defy, but cooperate. And it brings harmony. And especially the emotion of it. We shouldn't rob ourselves of how that feels when that comes into a unity within ourselves. The word indicting is this. It is gushing forth, bubbling up, running over, overflowing, permeating, radiating an energy from our own personal energy frequencer and heater. It's our inner healer. And it gives off the energy of unity and love. Thus, our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. As I was pondering this, Jackie Vanco was singing that song. And she had gotten to the place where she says, in the arms of an angel, you are pulled, listen to this, from the wreckage of your silent reverie. And that word means ponderings, deliriousness, your own intoxication. And intoxic means the poison of your own hellish thinking that you've held on to all your damned life and blessed life, that's kept you in a prison that you cannot get out of. temporary mental illness. A lunatic, we used Morgan's word. You can be mentally intoxicated. I mean, and it's toxic to your whole being and everybody around you. You can be willfully intoxicated. You can be emotionally intoxicated. And you certainly can be desired, intoxicated by your own desires. But these are poison. So I just wanted to start off with that with my morning yesterday morning. So God so touched me that morning that it was on me. I could feel it all day. And everybody was kind of, I got out of my space and I had some natural things to do. And I'd had strong on my heart, Morgan's children. So I was standing by the sink cooking the steak, and my heart was on God and those children. So I began to weep. And if you've ever had a hurt that you feel in your depth of your natural heart that pierces everything, that was what I was feeling. And you said, I said, Father, you know, it looks like in this case, legalities and people's mean feelings against what is right is the winner. Is that the way it is, Father? Do they have more power than you? If they don't have more power than you, show me, because I kind of feel left out here, if you don't mind. Just show me. But if you're God, I want to see the children today. I want to. And it's not absolutely out of your timing and will. I'll give it to you. But I promise you it's not your righteousness. And I just challenge you in that. They come in the door, didn't they? I just, you know, the thing is, we need to learn when to remit and retain. So, in this case, I said, Father, until it gets corrected, let there be hell upon those two people until they get this part worked out, because this is hurting a lot of people. So, yeah, we can remit and retain. Whatever you can bring up on those that will not hear, that will turn them, do it. Do it. That's power with God. I don't want anybody dead. I didn't mean that. But correction, I call it forth on myself. Of course we need correcting, and as we grow, like John said, some of the baggage doesn't become baggage anymore. It's just too light then. Things get light. So for us to think we don't have power over people's life, I believe we do. Yeah. And I believe this. Many years ago, I read the Hinds Feet and High Places, and I so identified with Much Afraid. But she came to a place with her lover where he took a sharp seed and he pressed it into her heart. So she was married to that, and it caused her a lot of pain, a lot of pain. That eternal seed is in us. And things are going to happen when you declare a thing. It will be and it be established unto you, like the Declaration of Independence and all those people. You can't imagine what they all suffered. Look up their lives. the prices they've paid. So I'm not saying this for everything, but this is in the now. This happened at my house yesterday. Mm-hmm. Recently, I was talking with Rokas and Carolyn. He said, Connie, you are not powerless. Use your power. Mm-hmm. But I went through that school of, you know, you might use it wrongly. Well, I don't want to use it wrongly, but God's righteousness is right. He did it with Moses. Remember what Moses, God said, I'm going to destroy them all in the city. Moses got in there and pled. He said, if there be one, two, got to ten, whatever it was. And then God was mad. And Moses, he met Moses in the way and at another time and said, I'm going to blot Israel out. Moses said, Father, if you do that, blot me out. You just blot me out. And God said, I change my mind. Because Moses was God's righteousness. He can't block out what his righteousness is, folks. Go to the bank with that. And the beautiful thing about this is I've watched it work for the year in this particular situation, and y'all carried it with me beautifully, understood it and felt it. Yesterday morning, Johnny and I just had a quick discussion about it. And I told him what Dawn's husband was shouting on the phone to me. And you know, that's the dangerous thing. The scripture says, don't touch mine anointed or do my prophets no harm. I strictly believe that thing. Or the one in authority. And I thought back, as I reflected back on it, I thought, this will bring a judgment. But Johnny said yesterday morning, he said, what they are doing will do them no good. So God sealed that, because when any two agree touching anything, it will shortly come to pass, right? They walked in the door, and the first words were, where's our daddy? And we missed this house. And John Morgan with Silver Tongue, oh, Nanny, come here, beautiful, he said. got my attention. That's how my morning started. That was my day yesterday. And, of course, when it happened, I had to weep as soon as they left. Because God was certainly greater. His righteousness will prevail. And the scripture tells me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Does your scripture read that way? That you're the righteousness of God in Christ? Yeah. Okay.
She was like a little girl when they left. Just began to weep. And I was just holding her, patting her. She couldn't stop crying. I was like, tears of joy.
It was Thanksgiving. I was humbled. I appreciate. Thank you for your prayers. Anyway, we're going to move on to some more teaching here. And we wanted to talk about Ephraim and Manasseh, how they got into this picture with the 12 sons. We'll find that over in Genesis 41. Because they have to fit somewhere, you know. How does this work? 41 and 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came. And I can't say her name, Asheneth. the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bare unto him. And he called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my misery and my toil and all my father's house. So the beautiful thing about all of us is when we realize a way of thinking or anything is not of value anymore, we can just forgive and put that into the sea of forgetfulness. We don't have to hold on to that pain or that hurt. We don't have to acknowledge it, of course, because that's owning it. Yes, this hurts, but I will move on from the hurt and forgive myself and forget this thing. The name of the second will be called Ephraim, for the God hath caused me to be fruitful even in the land of my affliction. Okay, some more scripture.
What was the chapter?
Sorry. Genesis 41, 50, and 52. And then I'm going to Genesis 48. And 5. This is, I could read it all. It's just where Joseph took his boys to meet his father. I'm going to start with the 5th verse. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. This is where you see the spirit of adoption, right here. It's the beginning of the spirit of adoption. If you want to know chapter and verse. And my issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. Okay, I'm going to move on down for time's sake. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon the head of Ephraim, who was the second born. And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father, Abraham, and Isaac did walk. Walk before that God. Folks, I mean that. Mm-hmm. I mean that. These people that saying these guys didn't exist. Yeah, that's the one I'm going to walk with. I like how it got worked out here. I don't think I'm going to be denying it or not counting it worthy to be mentioned. Somebody has to be an example. I mean, 30 years from now, they can say, there was never Johnny and Connie Purnell. There were myths. Give me a break. I mean, come on. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let thy name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head into Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head. But his father refused and said, I know what's coming down the pike. I know what's going to happen in the tomorrows. I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed will become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless you, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Okay. More scripture. Turn over to Hosea. Hosea 10 and 17. Nope, can't be right. Yeah, 10 and 11. God is prophesying here, and Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. But I've passed over upon her fair neck. Okay. I want to get into the law of adoption in just a second, but I wanted you to see that Ephraim gets in trouble because, well, let me read 12:1. Hosea says, or God speaking, Ephraim feedeth on the wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and it makes a covenant with the Assyrian, and the oil is carried into Egypt. Assyrians were an arrogant, prideful race. So what we will see with Ephraim, he does not make it into the destiny order. He's absorbed within Israel because God scatters him. He doesn't get to make it to the destiny order, except for being absorbed in the tribes, and that's exactly like Dan. Dan was absorbed as it got to be like God meant it to begin with, because Ephraim took on the pride of self-righteousness. We're dead in the water anytime we do that. I did this. I did this all by myself. Yeah, you did. And your blessings off of it. Just think about it. All by my little self. Okay. Romans 6. And 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And my original text does not omit Jesus. Yours might, none of mine do. Must have been supposed to be there, even by the Gnostics, who walk not after the ego, but after spirit. We want to understand the spiritual part of ourselves, not just do this for some kind of a claim. For the law of the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus made me free from that law of sin and death. We don't even need, I mean, it shouldn't be mentioned among us, thou shalt not kill. I mean, that, you ain't going to do no killing. It's more the promise. You won't want to kill anything. For what the law could not do, the law is impossible to perform anything unless spirit deals with it. The day will come when true worshipers, number one, will worship in spirit. That's what it's all about. This little group proved it out this morning perfect. Johnny and John and Speed and Francis and Suze and you and all of us had not discussed anything about this because we didn't know it was coming this way. We just asked to be in the river or part of the river. And you can't make up this beautiful stuff. You can't make it up. You can draw up all the plans you want to, and it'll never work. So it's not made up. It's by spirit of the living God flowing through so many different schools of thought and peoples. For what the law cannot do. So putting the law on somebody doesn't help unless the spirit of it's changed. In that it was weak through fleshy interpretations. We know this. God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and condemned the sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after a fleshy interpretation, a fleshy reasoning, but after the spirit of the matter. What is the spirit of the matter? We should always find that out first. In my heart, for a year, I was looking for the spirit of the matter. Show me what to do. So I said, that's not righteous, bring hell and high water. That's not your righteousness, bring your torment. Whatever you got to do to turn the rigs around.
It was established in heaven. You recognize that and brought it.
Yes. It came when Johnny spoke. This will do no good. God didn't. I didn't know that till after the fact. But thank God anyway. Okay. For to be carnally minded, which is ego set, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can it be. Folks, this legal reasoning, I mean, it just makes you want, it makes me sick. They start quoting laws on news and stuff, and they don't even know God, so they don't know what in the hell they're talking about. They're just spitting out bad news and slandering this and tearing up that and not settling a thing because none of it's by spirit. None. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. The Spirit of God, if so be the Spirit of God, dwells in you. Folks, you know your breath is spirit. You have to bring an understanding to yourself of what that means. how that works in my daily thinking and the way I flow. I always want to know what would you have my attention on first. Make me keep my focus. Does this work for you, God? Not just for me. This is such a corporate thing. It works that we're sewing a tapestry for each other to come under. And for mankind, anybody could come here and fit. But there's a price to pay. You do have to sit down and listen and choose to really truly be a flowing part.
Tapestries are made of string.
Yes.
And needles.
Okay, I think that was all of that I was going to read. Oh, yeah, the law of choosing. Romans 11. And let's see. Did I get that? Oh, no, I'm going to read Ephesians right now just to get Romans for the minute. Ephesians 1. Go away so I don't fall. I'll get there eventually. I love Paul's writings. Paul says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. Okay, maybe some of us need to go back and find out where our real start was. It tells me I was chosen to be in that energy of Jesus Christ. And he did it before the foundation of the world, before you were thought about as Johnny, or John, or Karen, or Morgan, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen, having predestined us unto the adoption, didn't we just talk about adoption? Of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure and his will. Okay, Galatians. I love this too. Paul says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child that doesn't have mature understanding, is what he's saying, differeth nothing from a servant, though he may be the Lord of all and not know it. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a man with a womb, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we're all adopted. And Romans 9:4. Paul says, starting with 9:1, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's talking about the Jews. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God blessed them forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, because they don't know it, what it means. Neither, because they're the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but it's in Isaac shall the seed be called. Remembering Abraham had many, many sons, not just Ishmael and Isaac. But over in Genesis, God told him, Abraham said, I give gifts to all of my sons, but to Isaac gets it all. There's a different, no wonder there's different energies out there and different frequencies and new age or whatever it is. No wonder they're different frequencies. Of course, we're learning to separate the precious from the vile. And when it's vile, don't eat it. If it's your vile, don't eat it. I mean, that's just a no-brainer to me. If it's vile, it's vile. I have no fellowship with that. Love you, Daddy. So let's move over to the law of choosing, which has adoption. Romans 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? And I hear this so many times when I'm looking at a seemingly negative situation. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have never bowed their knee to the image of Baal. So God is so much greater. He has things reserved just for us to take hold of. They've got our name on it to use, because we're becoming trustworthy to use his power, yes, for his rightness. Mm-hmm. So yes, some things that I've always blessed, I'm not doing that no more. No, I curse the hell out of it. Do you hear me? Until it becomes his heart. For their sake. Everybody's sake. We all gonna have to get in this boat and keep it going upright. Okay, one more verse.
So, I'm not sure I understand. Lot choosing, you said.
I'm getting to it. I'm not quite finished that part yet, but I'm getting there. Even then, and at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And you just have to look at any history you can remember and see where grace so much intervened. You just have to admit it. Different ones just stood out. This Nikola Tesla, if you don't know who he is, read some things about him. He didn't get the glory and honor, not in our country anyway, but Canada. The minute you go into Canada, there's a huge statue of him at Niagara. I stood there and wept because Morgan had taught us on Nikola Tesla, so I knew who he was, but he didn't get no glory over here. Don't know all the reasons. Okay, I'm still working with this, so let me read some more.
Where are you, Miss?
Romans 11:5. He says he's reserved a remnant to the election of grace. For it is by grace that you reach a salvation point, a freedom, not by works, it's lest any man kind of boast about it. Oh, that just makes me sick to think that we would. I got 50 saved. And where'd you take them? To hell and back. Give me a break. But if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given the spirit of slumber eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day, because unless you come in on the grace line, you can't see it. As long as you're under anything legal, you are spiritually blind. You have to take the law off and move according to what spirit is saying. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their way back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy, if they would ever let anybody in. Speaking of the Jewish race, they're the most arrogant race I've ever encountered. They carry it. You can't tell them nothing. They think they've got it all, and they have nothing. Because they haven't begun with y'all. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are of the flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall the receiving of them and but life from the dead? If the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so we are the branches. So what is the root of this? And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. I'm trying to see where all I've got to go here. I'm reading a lot, but we need to hear it. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, he also not spare thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which failed. Severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For thou wert cut out of the olive trees, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. How much more shall these, which be natural branches, grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We are in the fullness of the Gentiles in this age of Aquarius. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Okay, I want to go to something else. Oh, that was all of it that I was going to read right there. But I'd still want to go to another scripture. And this, to me, is the choosing. I can't find it. I need to study the scripture again. My brain goes to sleep when I teach. Something else standing up here. Okay, 2 Peter. Let's start with verse is seeing and these things. But I'll just start with the fifth verse. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Folks, the pondering that Jackie Evanko was talking about, you're pulled from the wreckage of your silent, that means you're quiet inside, reverie, torment. It's talking about your silent hell in the arms of something greater than you. Sure, angels. The scripture says he's given his angels charge over us. Mm-hmm. When I begin to claim that we would see Morgan's children, Carolyn prayed that prayer with me. Dispatch your angels to every child and let them come into an angelic corporate decision to defy that carnal rule in that house. Mm-hmm. And that was about 2 months ago. And every day I said, angels, what are you doing? And yesterday, before they showed up here, the last thing I heard the Father say to me about them is, you ain't seen nothing yet. I said, okay. Okay. And to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was already purged from his old sins. And here we're getting to this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, that's a realm, your election, that's a realm, and your steadfastness, sure, that's a realm. That's three different great realms. Know that you're called, elected, and on a sure foundation. I'm knowing that this morning. God has power. So if you don't know it, I release you to claim the power of his righteousness in your life every day. Call it forth. And if it's not, then it's, we get to deal with it, folks. I wouldn't pronounce this on anybody, because this sword, it cuts two ways. And if it don't cut two ways, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. Yes, there is suffering. But we're the one that makes all of this come about, just like Johnny said. Calls them like you sees them in the Lord. Call that thing. I mean, we ought to be scientists, rocket scientists by now in this. We should know certain things immediately, because the power of discernment is upon us. We do not live in the house of Dan, carnal judgments, but godly, righteous understanding. We have the power. Use it, folks. Please release it in your life for yourself and others. Claim it. Maybe, you know, I just feel like God's taken us and stood us on the walls of Jerusalem, and we're seeing our families, our children's, our grandchildren's, whatever. We're calling them forth and hollering way out there, that's a stumbling block. God, I've had people sit on the wall for me, and still do. It's wonderful to do that for one another. See what's happening there and cry out. Susan will call me and tell me something about one of the children, you know, and I know she's standing on that wall saying, "Oh my God, do you not see that bear?" And Steve and Francis, I've heard him do it, and Karen, well, all of us. Terry's standing on the wall for her children, and Michael on the wall for himself and whoever he's around, probably especially his mama. And Morgan, you know, we're doing this. It's beautiful. It doesn't make us something great. It's the most humbling thing I've ever felt. That's what I felt yesterday. Humility that I serve a master that answers me that day.
Amen.
I hurt so much. I said, today, I just want to see them today, God. Let them walk in the door, and I could see them in my mind coming up that step. This was those steps. We live in the most beautiful time, and this is just scratching the surface where we are. The wealth of loving knowledge in each of us, and these two new expanders here, is tremendous. I want to tap into Michael's well. I know he's rich with God. He was raised in this little bitty feller. Always pretty. You know? Well, he wasn't ever teeny, but. Yes. He's the cutest thing. Anyway, all of you, Morgan, I just feel a change for you, a pronouncement of that right for you in your life to set your feet in a high, I don't want to say high, but in a, such a steadfast, beautiful place that you'll be like Perseus with the wings on your feet. Yes, I pronounce that for you. Anybody that will, any of us that will move forward, and things are working out slowly sometimes, but surely. I just appreciate the Father and appreciate y'all listening to me. I do study, but most of all, I study to feel the anointing that will qualify me to be able to speak to any of you. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I told God yesterday, I said, you know, God, couldn't you just shake my sugar tree? So maybe he shook the sugar tree today for us. I love you much. We will pray over the food because we tend to get scattered when we get up there. Who wants to?